Thank you so much, Dave and the team. I almost broke out singing a very old song now. I can't even remember what it is, but this Christ before me, and it was great. And I think just understanding, remember love and remember mercy from that song. So I've got a slide, and I'm going to ask a question, and you're allowed to answer truthfully. This guy is named Alfred E. Newman. Does anybody know him? So my misspent teen years, I spent a bit of time with my nose in the Mad magazine. So what I used to do, especially around exam time, I'd have my geography textbook very diligently propped up, lying on my bed. And if Mom had to check in, but remember, she'd have to get past the sign on the door first. The sign said, hard at work, or genius at work, or something like that. I can't remember what I used to write on it. If she came in, she'd see me learning geography, wouldn't she? But I'm reading the Mad magazine. What I like about this particular slide, and I'm not saying, guys, run out here and go and buy a Mad magazine, please. That's not what I'm telling you to do. I'm not hoofing it either. I'm just saying, okay? This guy, in all his glory, says, what me worry, okay? And I think that even from the potentially worldly guys that put this thing together for the Mad magazine in the 50s, I think that they didn't have a great idea about what Jesus said about worry. And I'm not judging them. Maybe they did. Who knows? Maybe they went to church. He certainly looks like he bought a KFC bucket or two before church or after church. But so that's Alfred E. Newman. Now, if we take one step forward from there, Alfred E. Newman says, we'll worry for food. Isn't that true? We find him interesting at first, and then we start reading this thing, we'll worry for food. Isn't it true? So our reading tonight is going to come from Matthew 6. Verse 25. I'm going to be reading out of the NIV from 25 to verse 29. Therefore, I tell you, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, the Sermon on the Mount, and so he's unpacking a lot of stuff onto them. And he says, therefore, I tell you, why for? Therefore. Therefore refers to the previous verse. That says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both whom? God and money. God and mammon. So therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Interestingly, the Greek word for life there is suche. I actually listened. There's a button that says, how does it sound? So I'm actually pronouncing that like the original Greek, suche, which is soul. So I'm going to read it again, and I'm going to take life and put soul in there. Do not worry about your life, your soul, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, which was actually body from soma, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food? Again, your soul, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Jesus, we all know, was exceptionally deep when he said stuff. And that's why we have a Bible which doesn't get old. And so we read this today, and it means just as much to us as it meant to the people who were listening to him on that mountainside that day. They had their worries. We have our worries. They had their mountains to climb. We have our mountains to climb. He wasn't isolated in this little bubble and floated around because he was the Son of God, that nothing bad would happen to him, that he would not be exposed to stuff that you and I battle with. So when he says, do not worry, do not be anxious. In fact, I picked up the King James Version, and it says, do not give a thought. But they felt later on that giving a thought was different when Shakespeare wrote about giving a thought than it is today, because today you give a thought about what clothes you're going to wear or give a thought about whatever. The core here is a level of anxiety which leads to discontent or just redirects your thought process, your energy, through that anxiety. So that is this worry, the core of the worry. So I think what's important is our body, the way we know it, links us to this planet. We are spiritual beings having an earthly experience. We're not earthly beings having a spiritual experience. And so if we think about it like that, our spirit part, our spirit man, our spirit person is an eternal person. God has created us in his image, in his likeness, spiritually. And so when our soul leaves our body, when we pass, our soul has an eternal perspective. We spend an awful lot of time on earth worrying about a very small part of our eternal lives. And the reality is, I'm getting off my notes and it's dangerous. I'm busy fiddling on a computer, you might notice that. The printer said to me this afternoon, no, I'm not going to print. And because I said, what me worry? I thought, okay, well, I'm not going to worry, then I'll just use a computer. So just bear with me if you don't mind. Jesus is not saying that we don't have to make an effort, okay? And I think this is where the scholar might say, oh, but when we look in other areas, we're told that we need to be productive. We need to find a job. We need to work. We need to, in order to feed ourselves. Jesus is not saying here, he's not saying, put your head in a hole and everything is going to happen for you. Even though the Israelite people in the desert, wandering around for 40 long years, were fed with manna. The manna didn't fall into their tent. I don't know if you noticed that. They had to go out and gather the manna. So God looked after them, but it still required a little bit of energy, didn't it? So Jesus is not saying, guys, don't fuss about life. Life is going to happen. You're going to be happy and everything's going to go well. He's just saying, you know, that beyond our calling and beyond what God commands us, we sometimes go and look for stuff to do there. And that's where we've crossed the line. Up to as far as God requires us to do something, go and do it. Where we start doing stuff for ourselves, or because what's required is not enough, there's a whole bunch left of stuff that we desire after that, don't expect that your endeavors are necessarily going to bring that around without picking up additional trouble. So Jesus goes on to say, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap. Did I put that up? Oh, thank you. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? When Luke writes about the same account, Luke says the ravens of the air. He doesn't say birds. And interestingly, the King James Version said feathered fowls. And I was trying to picture a feathered fowl flying around. But the ravens. I think what's interesting about Luke's ravens is a raven is hoofed out of the nest when it hatches. And the raven's got to make its own living. And so it just becomes so clear, I think, in Luke's interpretation there, that the birds can't rely on their parents. He's saying the ravens of the air don't worry all. And so they really don't, you know. God provides. I don't know, have any of you ever seen a worried bird? Mickey? Ever seen a worried bird? Macaroo saw one, he told me when I asked him about that. He said she was chewing her fingernails on a botch at Desi's. What's that? So what happens? The world shouts at us, you know, what do you need? What do you need? Yes, and don't you find it difficult to understand what we need and what we want? Hey? Because so much of the stuff that we need happens easily. But the stuff that we want, yes, we can sweat for it. And we agonize. And Jesus is saying, don't worry, guys. Look at the birds. They fly about, and I think we can concur. I haven't seen a worried bird. I've seen an African grey plucking himself once, and they said it's because he's worried. He didn't look worried to me. He looked just like another bird, just without feathers. But, okay, so what happens? When we start doing things in our own power, we start gathering pride from it, don't we? Because now, you know what? God got me this far, okay? But that was then. Look at me now. Yes, I was living in a little two-bedroom house. I mean, you've heard the stories, man. These gajillionaires, the Oaks, you know? And it's like, and we were happy, but I'm so much happier now. Someone even said, yeah, money can't buy happiness, eh? But I'd rather be found crying in my Mercedes than on a bicycle. How materialistic can we be? Yeah. God opposes the proud. And when we start developing that pride, God's not happy with us. So Proverbs 3:34 literally says, God opposes the proud. Simple. James and Peter repeat that in their books. And it says further that he gives grace to the humble. So from a worldly perspective, enough is never enough. I think let's just understand that. The guys, the gajillionaires I was talking about, they're still not happy in that murk, man. Yes, and you see them snorting coke and doing all sorts of stuff. They've got to try and fill this thing in their life. And they don't know what it is. It doesn't have a name to them. But flip, they try. And they try everything. Yes, if it's not this, then it's booze, then it's porn, then it's something else, and then it's something else. They can't, what they don't understand is, right here in your heart, you've got a Jesus-shaped pocket. And you can shove all sorts of stuff in there. And it can even sit there for a few weeks. Sometimes it sits there for a few months, but your body rejects it because it's not natural. It doesn't belong there. So I think that we can conclude with that thought, just to say, pride first, but then what? Then fear. Because those oaks wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, quickly just check out what's going on Bloomberg there. I don't want to lose too much on those shares and what's happening on the stock market. And all of a sudden, all of these things, they have no power over them. Absolutely nothing. But what is it doing? It's giving them indigestion at 2 in the morning. I don't know about you. I'm sleeping like a baby then. Well, not like a baby. They tell me babies don't sleep at 2 in the morning. I'm sleeping like a rock at 2 in the morning. But so then they have fear. Now, what have I just spoken about? Pride and fear. Where does pride and fear come from? Pride and fear comes from the enemy. It's stuff that God says you don't need it. And half the stuff that we have pride and fear about is stuff that we don't need. Just as much as we don't need the emotions. Excuse me, just give me a second. So what does God do with the birds of the air? He feeds them. What else do we know about birds? They don't worry. They just fly around and sing during the day, especially when it's sunny. And at night they, I don't know, they snuggle down. I haven't watched birds sleeping much either. But and then they just chill out. But birds are happy. But we don't get it. And birds are God's creation, by the way. He created them. And not in his form. They're not his children like we are. They're not made in his likeness. And yet we are. And we humans, the highest species, we just get ourselves frazzled with anxiety, don't we? Just so busy. So that we can put food on the table, we say. But how many of us go to all that, to the ends that we go to really put food on the table? Eventually, it's not about putting food on the table. The food is probably going to be on the table. We're worried about bigger things. Very often, the anxiety we get is not because we are hungry or not because we have a fear of hunger. It's other stuff that we're afraid of. And so we run trying to fill these things again, saying, oh, you know, I've got to put food on the table. Very often, it's got to do with a whole lot of other stuff going on. So maybe you're waking up at 2 in the morning, you're worried about unemployment or work pressure or any number of things. And I'm not saying that they're not happening, and I'm not saying that it's not real. To many people it is very real, and to many people it's happening right now. But is it going to benefit any one of those people to get into such an anxious lack of focus, scrambled state of mind about something which is probably going to happen anyway? If it's happening, it's happening. So we load up all of these things voluntarily. And these things start causing all sorts of stuff to us. Anxiety, negative effects, stress. We always hear about stress. And what else does it do, all of these things? It distracts us from God. The big house, the fancy car, the stuff that people look at and say, this is success. This is, if I fast forward my life 15, 10, 25, whatever years, that's what I want. But until you walk a mile in someone's shoes, don't think that you can wear the clothes. So for a lot of those people, and I'm not saying, guys, please don't get me wrong. If you have a big house and a big car, that there's something wrong with it, I'm not saying that. If it's getting between you and God, get rid of the big house and the big car. If it's waking you at 2 o'clock in the morning, get rid of the big house and the big car. Because it's not worth worrying about it. It's not worth getting sick with worry about that stuff. Let it go. Live a joyful life. Praise the Lord for the air in your lungs in the mornings. So we sometimes lose sight of the fact that that God provides for us. Because the reality is we're so busy providing for ourselves, aren't we? And so all of a sudden that line, okay, so that's where God got me, but this is all me now. Now, where did the provision end or where did I start or whatever? That line starts getting blurred. So then it just becomes a scrambled thing about God's provision. God provides our basic needs, friends. Psalm 127, verse 2. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones. God gives rest. Yeah. Isn't it great to have rest? And God gives it to us. He's going to provide. So where you are inside of God's will for your life, and you are doing what you're called to do, and you're fulfilling God's purpose, God's provision will follow that. Next week, we're going to get into the further parts, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. But that's the reality. It's a little bit like in our humanness. We were covering in one of our small groups a while ago, the fruits of the Spirit. And what just hit me? Was how is it that we want the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, and whatever, And we'll even like think, yes, it's so difficult to have all these things. But aren't we putting the cart before the horse? Because we're wanting to have the fruit, but we're not understanding the fruit is the fruit of what? The Spirit. So should we not, instead of asking for the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm saying, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you up every day. Fill you up to overflowing so that those fruits from you can spill over into others' lives, that they see it, and that that brings glory to God. So don't be looking for the fruit, be looking for the Spirit. Are you with me? So the fruit will follow. It's a natural thing. The more you love Jesus, the more he starts showing out. Mark told the story about the little kid at Sunday school. And they're talking about Jesus filling you, and you got Jesus in your heart and whatever. This little guy couldn't understand this thing. So he's like, sorry, miss, I don't understand. Yeah, okay, what's it? He says, but I'm this big, eh? Yeah, okay. But Jesus was a big guy. Yeah. So how does he fit in my heart? He won't fit in there unless he's showing out all over, sticking out all over. The teacher said, you've got it, my boy, you've got it. Because if you've got Jesus in you, he's sticking out all over. And I think that this is the whole thing. We've got this thing. We want sometimes what things can give us. But we don't understand how to get there. Just understand, if you want to bear the fruit of the Spirit, it's available to you through the Spirit. First the Spirit, then the fruit. In the same way, we toil in our own power, hoping for eternal results. God provides for us. What does your puppy do when it's storming? Robbie, on Friday night, Robbie says, what does your puppy do when it's storming? I said, probably calls mom, I don't know. He says, no, man, when a puppy is storming, it runs. Sorry, you're not when a puppy is storming. There are probably some of those too, but when it's storming outside, your puppy comes to you, its master, and it comes looking for to be consoled because the storm is rough. And so it comes looking for its master to console it. I think I've seen a couple of puppies running around like mad things when it's storming, barking and carrying on. I think some of us might be like them. But I think we should be like that, you know. When the storms are raging, we need to look for God's answers to those storms. We should be going to the master and asking him, this is the storm I have. How do I fix it? This is the storm that's going on. What's my next step? Because you know what often we do? We'll make a decision, we'll take a step, and we're expecting provision to follow. God's provision will follow. I'll make a decision, and God's provision will. No, guys, God's provision, we follow. God directs us, and when we follow his direction, we get provision. Provision follows. So all of a sudden, you can see, I read a bumper sticker once before I move on from that point. It said, don't tell God how big your storms are. Tell your storms how big your God is. It's so big that we don't even see it. We miss it. Our Father is huge. You know, Jesus is sleeping in the bottom of a ship, a boat, and they're fishermen on top. And there's a storm. And those oaks are shocked at this storm. And they think, this is going to be the end of us. And they go and wake Jesus. And he comes up and he says to the wind and to the water, to be still. And it calms down. And these guys are gobsmacked. But this is what Jesus does for us, even today. Even today. We look and we think we're experienced with these things, don't we? Those fishermen probably figured, it's just a storm, it'll pass, we'll get on top of it and it'll be okay. when they realized we better get a hold of Jesus, because if he doesn't come and solve this problem, I think they thought they're probably all going to cease to exist then. And Jesus comes, and just by the spoken word, that's the end of the storm. And I think that we need to understand as well, when we are worried, when we're in a tiz, when we've got this anxious anxiety, which is just blowing everything out of proportion. Because how can you, honestly, when you feel like that, and you know what? I think I'd be the first to admit, if you say after this, hey, Dieter, do you worry? I'm going to say, yeah, I worry, man. I'm also human, you know. I'm not, I said to my wife, I'm not giving this message because I know it all. I'm giving it because I found some valuable stuff that I want to share and maybe equip you and feel that I, through this process, am becoming equipped. What was I saying? Sometimes the storm stays, but our perspective changes. Sometimes our prayers change the course of the storm. Other times our prayers change our perspective of the storm. So I normally speak about our filtration system. There's always in life, there's an incoming stimulus. Somebody cuts you off in traffic. Somebody says something that you don't like. Somebody does something that just like, and you feel this sensation. I don't know if you do. I do. This sensation of heat shooting up and a little bit of hair that I've got left just starts doing this. And I'm like, I have to do something to get rid of all this energy that I have now. I'll tell you right now, how does bad get to worse in a hurry when your filtration system is bad? When that incoming stimulus doesn't get filtered properly through your system, then it's bad. Because then you think it's dirty coming in. Wait until it comes out the other side, pal. Yeah, it can get terrible. So how do we clean our filtration system? The same way, by the way, that we have the fruits of the Spirit. By asking Jesus to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Asking the Holy Spirit to fill us and to fill us to a point of overflowing. Not once a year, once a day, or more. All of a sudden you find that your perspective is bigger than the problem. There's a moderation between our earthly reality and our eternal certainty. So what are some of the facts about worry? I'm nearly finished, so I guess it would be a good time to wake up. If we allow ourselves to be distracted at every single warning of a storm, let alone the storm itself, you can be sure we will never have peace. We will never know calm, and we will never know joy. The facts about worry. Worry is like a rocking chair, isn't it? Oh, man, it keeps us busy, but it doesn't get us anywhere. More than 90% of the storms we worry about never come to pass. Some people, one guy I was chatting with says, he was a worry pot, he always says. Because when he wasn't worried, he was worried about what he wasn't worrying about. Eh? And I'm thinking, yeah, that's a bad condition. Imagine just never feeling content because if you're worried, you're forgetting something to worry about. If you worry about food, does it give you food? Not me. If you're worried about money, does it give you money? Unfortunately not. Jesus says in verse 27, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? I don't think any of us can. Might shave off some hours is what we would do. So does the Bible, the supreme word of God, ever, ever promise results from worry or anxiety? No. Does it offer us results from pursuing God? Yes, it does. What about diligence and serving Him? You betcha. So I'm going to keep the rest for next week. Was that good? Have I bored you? So next week, Sunday, same place, same time, we're going to hear about how things go from there and how we deal with some of these things that are going on. verses to contemplate. I'm going to give you guys some homework because you've got a whole week to work now. Psalm 55, 22, cast your burdens on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Matthew 11, 29, 30, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Friends, Pot, have a great week. We conquer fear, and we conquer worry. In Jesus' name, let's pray together. Lord God, we are so honored to have spent this time in your presence, Father. Thank you so much for the truths which have been shared. Lord God, you alone are the one who will receive glory. You are the one, Lord, who will take us by the hand and walk with us. And you've promised, Lord God, that you will master that storm. You are higher than any storm. And so, Father, as we part now, we pray that you'd part us with your blessing and with your protection and your continued provision until we meet again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. Have a great week.